Turning your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3, we're continuing, of course, our study of the prophet Jonah. We saw he was the one who's commanded to go to the capital of the Assyrian Empire, to the city Nineveh, and he was to cry out against that city because of the wickedness. Well, in the last few weeks, we realized that Jonah is often called the reluctant prophet, and that's because he didn't do what God told him to do. In fact, he went the opposite direction. He went west to Tarshish rather than east to Nineveh. Well, this morning, as we're continuing, we're going to see that he fulfills his mission that God gave him to do. In fact, he goes, in fact, chapters 1 and 2 show the disobedience of Jonah, but chapters 3 and 4 show the obedience of Jonah. And this morning, we're going to see the reaction of the city. Now, it's an amazing thing, because the message that Jonah gives to the city is not what we might think. We might think that God sent Jonah to tell them of how they could all be saved. But that wasn't the message. In fact, it's a message of judgment. And we see how the city responded. As we look at this passage, we actually see the character of God. Think about this. We see his grace. God's grace. He's a God of grace. That's how he deals with us. Think what he did with Jonah. He gave Jonah a second chance. Think how many chances he's given each of us. He's a God of grace. But we also see that he's a God of love. He sends a message to the wicked Ninevites. And we see what the whole deal is all about as we look through it. Let me raise some questions for us to think about. How do we see God's grace in giving Jonah a second chance? Think about it. What can we learn about the character of God as we look through this passage and we look through this book? What was the message that Jonah proclaimed, and how does this correspond to our message? Because we realize they're two different messages. And as we think about this, how do these people respond to what God told them? And what does God do? And so as we look through this, there's a lot in the passage. It's a little bitty book, and it's not only taking us but 5 weeks to go all the way through it. We've got one more week next week, and there's just so much there. So let's think about it. You know, when you think about the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible is the most special book in the whole world. God gives his revelation to us in written form. Now, revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. This is the inspired word of God. Peter says that it is a more sure word of prophecy. Paul said it is inspired of God and profitable. The writer of Hebrews says that it is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Jesus said it is the truth. How do you respond to the Bible? I mean, think about it. We hear it on Sunday mornings, and we hear about it in grow groups, and we get it on Wednesday nights, and we get it on Bible studies. We get it in all kinds of different things. How do you respond to the Bible? When you read it, when you study it, when you have your quiet time, when you're digging it, how do you respond to it? When you study it and you put it together, how do we respond to the Word of God? We're supposed to believe the Word. We're supposed to apply the Word, and we're supposed to pass on the Word. This morning, we're going to see how the city of Nineveh responded to the message that God sent. And often people don't always respond to the Word of God. Think about this. How do people respond to the salvation message? There are many times that people will hear the truth, that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. If they will trust in him, they'll have eternal life. And their response is to ignore that, or to say, maybe I'll think about it another time. I still remember in the Bible when Paul would go to that ruler named Felix. And Felix would call for Paul when Paul was in prison for that 2-year time period. And Paul would come to him and tell him the truths about Jesus. And Felix enjoyed listening to it, but he'd always say, I'll think about this at another time. And sometimes about service. All of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior understand we're to obey the Word of God and live for Jesus Christ. But James says, don't be like some people who know the word but don't observe the word. You know, it's a different idea to say I know what it says, but then to live it out. Be doers of the word rather than just hearers. So how do we respond? Do you and I respond to the Word of God? Let's not become dull to the truths that are found in the Scripture. And it's easy to hear truth over and over. It's here to hear the truths about salvation. It's easy to hear the truths about the Christian life and how we're to live and what we're to do. And in a sense, to ignore them and just say, well, you know, I hear this all the time. Oh, yeah, we know that. I've known that since I was 12. That's the way it is. Well, let's think about what's going on. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he's called the reluctant prophet. He was supposed to go to Nineveh and to go, what he did was go the opposite direction, went down to Joppa, which is really close to modern-day Tel Aviv, got in a boat and was going the opposite direction. God brought a big storm a big storm there. And the sailors, they find out that Jonah was running from God. And so Jonah basically said, the only way y'all will be saved is just throw me overboard. And when you throw me overboard, you'll be saved. And they threw him overboard and he was saved. But as Jonah was drowning, and we saw it last week, Jonah was going down to the bottom of the sea. He was praying to God and saying, oh God, I recognize that I've been openly disobedient to you and that I will do what you want me to do. And a fish swallowed him. And a lot of people think that Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the fish, that the fish was bad. The fish was good. The fish saved Jonah's life. And in chapter 2, we saw that Jonah was praying from the belly of the fish, and he was basically thanking God for saving him by using the fish. In that, he said, I will keep my vow. I will do what I said. I think he vowed that he would go to Nineveh just like God wanted him to do. We saw the end of chapter 2 when it said, then the Lord, verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. Now, we talked about this last week. What do you think Jonah looked like? I mean, he's been in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights and all those acids. And I mean, there's no telling what he looks like. He may not look normal when he comes out on the shore. He may look all messed up. And when people see him, they go, what in the world happened to you? He says, well, I've been in a fish for 3 days and 3 nights, right? He's going to go to Nineveh. I don't think he looks normal. That may be one of the reasons the people listened to what he had to say. But let's break down the passage. Jonah chapter 3, we're going to see Jonah's second commission as he goes to Nineveh to proclaim a message. We see the city of Nineveh's response. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, probably the largest city in the world at that time. And we see what God did based on what they did. Now, when we think about this, we think about the love of God, because that's what we said the book was about. Most people, if you just say Jonah, what do you think of? They say Jonah and the whale, but it's actually a fish. But people say Jonah and the fish. Well, the truth is, the book of Jonah is not about Jonah and a fish. The book of Jonah is about God's love for all people. He gives a message to these people about their wickedness. And that's what we see in the book. It is God's love, the second commission, God's love for all people, including the Ninevites. And we realize we have a message. We have a message of God's love. We go out these doors because we've come together as believers to worship our Savior and to be trained and equipped. But we go out these doors into this community and this world with the greatest message of all. And it is that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ and faith in him. As we think about God's love, we think about God's grace, because God's love is the motivation for his grace in sending his son. Well, let's see what happens. Look at chapter 3, and we're going to see the second part of the book. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying. Now, the word of the Lord. When we realize that Jonah was to announce God's word. That's what he had. He had the word of the Lord. He was to announce the word of God. We have the same thing. We have a written revelation. We have the Word of God in our hands. Most every one of you came today, you have a Bible. You have the Word of God in your hand. You are to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. And it says, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And I think about this. I always think about second chances. God is a God of second chances. Jonah had disobeyed God. And God was not through with him. And see, sometimes, many times, oftentimes, we disobey God. God's not through with us. Sometimes people do things wrong and they say, well, I've blown it. Well, yeah, you have. Well, God will never use me again. Yeah. How do you know that? God's a God of second chances, third chances. In my case, he's a God of hundreds of chances. And that's what God does. That's why the Bible says, well, Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. Think about the second chances. Think about Peter. What did he do that night? Peter said, I'll die with you. And Jesus said, no. Before the night's over, you're going to deny me 3 times. What did Peter do? He denied him 3 times. Was God through with Peter? When Peter got there and said, oh, Jesus, did God say, Jesus say, Peter, sorry, you blew it, man, and I'm not going to use you. No, he said, you love me? Feed my sheep. You love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my sheep. He went through with Peter. Think about John Mark. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. And right in the middle of the ministry, he left and went back home. And you say, well, he's through. But what does Paul write later? Paul write later says, and John Mark, bring him. He is faithful in ministry. It's never too late. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 103. Have you ever read it? You know what it says? It says, he knows what we are like. He knows we are but dust. He knows what we're like. Listen, it's his power through us. If it's left to us, we fail every time. And he knows that. Be thankful that God chooses to use each of us in this room. Some of you in this room, you say, well, I messed up. I'm not serving, I'm not growing, I'm not being used. It doesn't really matter, it's over. No, God loves you, and he wants to use you. And as long as he has you on this earth, as long as you are alive, he will use you for his glory. See, God is a God of grace. It's God's grace in saving us, and God's grace in using us when we don't deserve it. We did not deserve to be saved. We do not deserve to get to serve God. It is his grace in all accounts. God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us. It's the grace of God. Well, look what happened. So it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, here's what God says to him. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Now, notice he says, go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Syrian Empire as a big city, biggest city in the world at that time. Some of the walls were 100 feet high. They were 50 feet wide. Some of the towers were 150 feet tall. Now, let me tell you, do you know that Jonah's going there knowing that these are his enemies, that the Ninevites, the Assyrian Empire, eventually is going to come and take off the northern empire of Israel. He knows that. He knows that they're a wicked group of people, and they're coming to power. We know the Egyptians have already faded, and the Jewish people under Solomon have already faded, and so the Assyrians are coming to power, and they're gonna rule the world. Look what he says. Proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. It really means to cry out against the city and cry out on what I'm going to tell you. Now, we don't know what he's going to say. He didn't say. He said, I want you to go to the city and then tell them what I'm going to tell you. We don't know what the message is. We already know it. The first time he came to Jonah, he says, cry out against them, which meant it was going to be a negative message. This one just says, proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. I don't think Jonah knows till he gets there what the message is going to be. Not this time. He knew the first time. It was supposed to be a negative message. He didn't know the second time. Now we have a message. It's not a bad message, it's a good message. It's called good news. It's called the gospel. We get to go tell people how Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. So what does it say? Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Jonah arose and went. He went. Now, you know, think about it. The first time, Jonah was doing his will. The second time, he's doing God's will. And there's always joy and blessing when you do what God wants you to do, when you obey the scripture. Now, notice what it says. It says, now Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. What in the world does that mean, a 3 days' walk? There's all kinds of thoughts about it. We know that the city, best we can tell from excavation and stuff, it was about 8 miles around. So it's a huge city. And when they say 3 days walk, some mean they think it would take you 3 days to walk around the city. Some think it's so big that it would take you 3 days to walk through the city. It's the largest city in the world. I talked to Roxy right before the service, and she told me that Nineveh is modern-day Mosul. I mean, that's the city we hear about all the time, and the fighting and the war that's going on. That's the city still there. It was a gigantic city in that day. And so He's to get to that city. Look what it says, verse 4. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and he said, now listen to the message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message God told him to say. We knew the first time God sent him, he said, I want you to cry out against them, which meant it was going to be a negative message. This time he just said, I'm going to tell you what to tell you when you get there. And when he gets there, he's supposed to say, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He gets to the city. Best we can tell, maybe he's gone through the city for a period of time, gets there and begins to give this message. And here's the message. Whoops. 40 days it will be overthrown. This is a message of judgment. 40 days and the city will be destroyed. Now, 40 is a word used in, or a number used in the Bible all the time that has something to do with judgment. It has something to do with testing. Think about it. It rained how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. When Goliath stood up and challenged the nation of Israel, it was for 40 days. When Saul was the king of Israel for 40 years, David was the king of Israel 40 years, Solomon was the king of Israel 40 years. When the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness, they wandered for 40 years. When Moses' life, three 40-year time periods, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in bringing the people back. When Moses went on top of the mountain, he's on top of the mountain for 40 days. When Elijah was running from Jezebel, 40 days. When Jesus went into the wilderness, 40 days. When Jesus died and rose again, he walked on the earth 40 days afterwards. 40 is a number in the Bible that has an idea of testing. So here's the message. You got 40 days and the city's going to be overthrown. When it says the city will be overthrown, it actually means turned upside down. This is his message. Now, let me tell you, what do you think he looked like? He didn't look normal. And this unnormal guy going through the city saying, God, the God of Israel, the true God of the world, has declared in 40 days, everyone in this city will be killed. The city will be turned upside down. You can see people going, who is that? I don't know. Look at that guy. He's weird. Yeah, he's weird. God warns the Ninevites. God always warns before judgment. What did he tell Adam and Eve? In the day that you eat that fruit, dying, you shall surely die. God used Noah. Noah preached 120 years before the flood that the flood was coming. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar went out and talked about how great of everything he had done, and God gave him a dream. Daniel came in and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to turn from your wicked ways or God's going to judge you. And at the end of the chapter, God judged him, gave him warning. The nation of Israel sent prophets over and over again saying, if you do not obey the word of God, God will take you out of the land. He warned them over and over again. And in 722, he took the northern empire out. And in 605, he took the southern empire out because they didn't obey. We don't know. All we have here, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. We don't know if he said. Now, by the way, if you were to get your act together, you're going to be safe. He didn't say that. We don't know. We don't know what else he said. We just know that he says 40 days and you will be destroyed. Now, we have a message. We have a message, both a message of salvation and judgment. John 3:18, whoever believes will not be condemned, but whoever believes not is condemned already. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll never be separated, but if you don't believe in Christ, you're already separated. That's our message. See, our message is grace. We have a message of grace and of salvation. We get to tell people how Jesus died and rose again, his death and his resurrection, and all who believe in him have eternal life. When we go out these doors, we're not given a judgment message. We're given a good news message. We're given a salvation message. Every one of us in this room ought to be excited about going out these doors and saying to people, let me tell you the greatest news ever. You can have eternal life as a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. It's the greatest message of all time. Because see, most people have been taught religion, which is you got to do this and do this and do this, and maybe God will love you. And you got to do this, and if you hang on long enough, maybe you'll live a good enough life, and God will save you. That's not our message. Our message is a message of grace. Jesus Christ is the Savior, not us. He died and rose again. He gives eternal life to all who simply believe. That's our message. We don't know. All we know in this thing is he said you got 40 days, and then everybody's going to be destroyed. Look what happened. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. And they called a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Now that's a big overall statement. They believed the message. They believed that God was going to destroy them. And it says they called a fast. They said, okay, this is overall. Nobody, we're not going to eat anything. We're not going to eat anything or drink anything. We're just going to pray to God and tell him don't kill us. And then and it says they put on sackcloth, which was like animal skins or some different things that were real rough. And it's, you wore them, and it made you, it hurt, and you know, it was right against your bare skin, and it made you think of suffering, and you're suffering as you're calling out to God. That's what sackcloth was for. In Luke chapter 11, it says that Jonah was a sign to this generation. He was. He came as a sign from God. I'm a prophet of God. Here's God's message to you. The Bible tells us we are a sign to our generation. We get to go with the greatest message of all time. Just remember this. God's not asking you to go out and tell people that he's fixing to kill them all. God tells you to go out and tell them that he's got a way to save every one of us. And it's through Jesus Christ. Wow, look what they did. This is a summary verse. The people of Nineveh believed. They called a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now, it doesn't say anything about believing in the God of Israel for salvation. I think what they believed is that the God of Israel was about to destroy them. And they said to themselves, maybe if we do what's right, he won't destroy us. Look at verse 6. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And ashes was a symbol of mourning. They'd sit down in ashes all over them. They have the sackcloth on. And he's sitting there basically showing his humility. He's the king of the biggest city in the world. And he's got on animal skins. And he's sitting in ashes. And he's praying to the true God, don't destroy us. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen at all. In fact, look what it says. Verse 7, 8, and 9 is a proclamation. He issued a proclamation and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Nobody gets to drink anything. Nobody gets to eat anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. That's man or beast. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. They put sackcloth on the animals. And let men call on God earnestly that each may turn from what? From his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. And see, they said, we're not going to feed the animals. We're not going to let any animals drink. We're not going to drink. We're not going to eat anything. The animals are going to start making noise and mooing and calling out. And so that's them calling to God. We're going to be calling to God. We're going to tell God, oh, God, don't destroy us. And look what it says in verse 9. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. So they decided that since God was going to destroy them all, they decided to turn to God, turn away from their wickedness, and ask God not to destroy them. I put it up like this. The decree from the king was that men or animals, they couldn't eat or drink, always going fast. They all put on sackcloth, showing the sorrow. They all called on God. Salvation from destruction. Please don't destroy us. They said, we're going to turn from our wickedness. We're not going to do sin right now. They had to admit their sin. And their hope was that God might relent and they would not perish. They would not perish. So they're turning to God and saying, what are we going to do, God? We believe that you actually will destroy us. You know, there were great rumors, legends of what the God of Israel had done. Even 40 years after the Jewish people had come out of Egypt and how God had judged the Egyptians, and then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And as they get ready to go into the promised land, what do the people in the promised land say? We know what your God did to the Egyptians. That was 40 years ago. People knew about the God of Israel. Maybe the Ninevites are going, well, he's no God to be trifled with. See, in their minds, there's a lot of gods, but this God may be pretty tough. So maybe we ought to try to clean up our act. I love what Jesus said in John 3:16, of course. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will never perish but have eternal life. Then he says, for God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, our message is not condemnation. Our message is grace and salvation. You've got the greatest message that's ever been given, and we have the privilege to take it into this community and into this world. So look what happened. Look what happened. When God saw their deeds, verse 10, when God saw their deeds that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would do, that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now I want to show you something. This is a Hebrew word, natan, which means to change your mind. It has an idea of sorrow. It has an idea to just change your mind. Now, we know that God, Bible says in some places that God doesn't change his mind. The idea here is that he's putting what they call anthropomorphic ideas. They're using human terms to describe God. And God said, I'll destroy you. Okay, I saw what you did. I'm not going to destroy you. From man's point of view, God may have changed, but from God's view, he knows everything, the end from the beginning. He knows what he's going to do. He knew what was going to happen. Now, I want you to think about something. Realize that God is going to use these people, the Assyrians, later to deal with the nation of Israel and their rebellion. When the nation of Israel continues to rebel against God, God uses these people to remove them from the land. 722 BC. There's a second thing. Realize that Nahum, a prophet's going to write later, gives a prophecy of the future judgment on these people. Someday, God will judge them. Several weeks ago, Eric taught on the book of Nahum. Nahum is telling the Assyrians that God is going to destroy them. He's not giving them a chance this next time. And he does. He does destroy them. He allows the Babylonians to come in and conquer them. Now, here's some problems for Jonah. Okay, number one, his message didn't come true. What kind of prophet are you? You said God was going to destroy everything in 40 days. That didn't come true. God spared them. Jonah says, I don't look very good. I'm supposed to be a prophet of God, and I told him in 40 days they'd be going to be destroyed, and then you didn't do it. You're not making me look good as a prophet, right? And then his anger, because he didn't want these people to be saved. We're going to see his anger in just a minute, and we're going to realize that he knows these are his enemies. And his enemies are still alive. What he really wanted was for them to be destroyed. We talked about it in the very first week that we looked at this book of Jonah. What if God said, go to ISIS and tell them in 40 days, God's going to completely destroy them. And we going, I'm going over there to tell them that. And then after 40 days, God says, I've decided not to destroy them because they've turned from their wickedness. You might say, well, I don't like that. I want them destroyed. This is what Jonah's going to say. Jonah says, wait a minute. You said you were going to get rid of these people. And now you didn't. It is a remarkable thing that an entire city turned to God. Now, I didn't say they believed in the Messiah as Savior. I said they turned to God, believed the message, turned from their wickedness, and God spared them. How does Jonah react? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He's mad and angry. How could you do this? How could you let them live? How could you not destroy them? How could you make me look bad? I said 40 days and all. You told me to tell them 40 days and everything's going to be destroyed. Then you didn't do it. I'm looking bad. I don't like them. I don't want them alive. I know they're an enemy of ours. I wish you'd have done what you said. I'm mad about it. That's Jonah. So what have we seen? Jonah went to Nineveh and gave the message. The entire city turned to God. God saw that and didn't bring the judgment on them. And Jonah is mad. We got one more chapter. And we're going to see what happens next time in chapter 4. But let's talk about this morning for a minute. Let's realize the character of God that we see from the book of Jonah and from the Bible, that God is a God of love. God loves all people. He loved the Ninevites. Listen, God wanted to say it. God brought physical salvation to the Ninevites. To the world, he wants to bring spiritual salvation. To anyone who will believe in him will never perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. Spurgeon said this, the love of God was shown as he gave his son to die and rise again for us to pay for our sins. God desires for people to be saved. Even those we don't like. We also realize that God is a God of grace. God is a God of grace. Think about the message of salvation. It's a grace message. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You're saved by faith in Christ, the grace of God. God is a God of grace. But think about service. It's the God of grace. He uses us. He uses us over and over again. None of us deserve to be used by God. It's the grace of God that he uses any of us. And it's the grace of God that he keeps on using us every time we keep failing him. So it's never over as long as you're alive on this earth. As long as he's got you alive on this earth, he will take you and use you for his glory. That's the grace of God. Realize that we are assigned to this generation. The Bible says that as Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, he was assigned to that generation. Jesus said that he was assigned to his generation. The Bible tells us that we are to go out and be the representatives of Jesus Christ to this generation. We must proclaim the message clearly. Listen, if you said to yourself, if you said, you know, I know that he's telling us that we're supposed to tell people about Jesus, but I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I know enough to tell people. I'm afraid that if I started to try to share my faith, I might not know what to say. If that's true, you come see me. We have classes. I will meet with you one-on-one to train you. If not, we've got classes. We've got meetings. We've got people that will help you so that when you go out these doors, you can say, I'm ready when the opportunities come to share my faith, to take the greatest message into this community. Last but not least, and that is, let's respond to God's message. Let's talk about the message of salvation. There may be someone in this room who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you've never understood it. You may have thought you had to be good. You know, I want you to understand that we have a message of grace. Jesus died for you on the cross, paid for your sin, rose again, conquering death, and offers to you a gift, the gift of eternal life. It is not based on your works or goodness or anything. It's based on the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ as the one who gives you eternal life. And so I hope and pray if there's anyone in this room who's never trusted Christ, right where you're sitting, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's salvation. For service, that's us. That's all of us who know Christ as Savior. How many times have we let him down? It doesn't matter. Respond. Say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. Maybe I come help in Vacation Bible School tomorrow. Maybe I come back at 2 o'clock and help them set up for Baby Vacation Bible School. Maybe I start taking these classes. Maybe I help something on Sunday morning. Maybe I do. Maybe I want my life to count for Christ. Let's respond to the truths. Let's obey God. Let's don't be like Jonah. When God said, do this, Jonah went the opposite way. May we desire that God use us for his glory. May we know the love, the grace of God. May we serve him as we obey the word of God, and we faithfully proclaim the gospel to our community.